Jamming your transmission, interrupting your regularly scheduled internet procrastination to bring you a message from the Galactic Council, this is the Daniel Natale Show. Joe Biden recently set the media abuzz when he casually referred to the coming New World Order. He was at a business roundtable meeting, the business roundtable being the chief architects of this coming world corporatocracy when his comments were made. You might know the business roundtable from its other hits, such as open borders, outsourcing, harmonizing tariff laws around the world, an international court, and the weakening of national sovereignty. At any rate, here's Joe genuflecting before his masters here.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people died, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there.
Of course, Joe has long been an advocate for the New World Order, as you can see from this decades-old comment he made when he was still in Senate. What's important to understand is that the New World Order is more than just an Alex Jones buzzword connoting a totalitarian dystopia. For instance, when George Bush famously referred to the New World Order, he meant something more nuanced.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It's important to remember the context of what was going on at the time period then. It all started with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Right after that, a domino effect happened whereupon several Eastern European countries collapsed, such as Czechoslovakia, Romania, Bulgaria, and Poland, all in the same year. Then in 1991, the Soviet Union itself imploded. The ripples of change didn't stay confined to Eastern Europe and Germany, though. Like a tsunami rushing west, it led to the formation of the European Union in 1993. That tsunami washed over Western Europe and slammed into the United States on September 11th, 2001, when a terrorist event changed America forever. Part of that fundamental change was brought about by the so-called Patriot Act, written by none other than Joe Biden. From then on, America would become a security state, and its citizens were told that they had to give up their essential liberties for the promise of greater security. They would have to endure pat-downs at airports and more warrantless spying on their personal information. Their banking transactions would no longer be private, but would now be transparent to the government, all on the claim that it was to protect us from terrorists. So George Bush was actually right. He did occupy the White House as the old world order, signified by the 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement, and a bipolar world made up of the Allied sphere and the Soviet sphere underwent monumental change. By the way, the 1944 Bretton Woods Agreement, which divided the world between East and West, came hard on the heels of H.G. Wells' book entitled The New World Order in 1940, where the socialist Wells engaged in what he called the open conspiracy to change the nature of the world and to place it on more collectivist materialist principles. Wells complained to the constant wars from rival empires and suggested that the new watchword should be peace through tyranny, as a single global system was put in place to get rid of those pesky inefficiencies of self-determination from various peoples. Of course, Wells, who was literally a member of the first British Ministry of Propaganda in 1916, was merely placing a more alluring face on what amounts to global monopoly. This was the dream of the business interests, like the business roundtable as aforementioned, since the days of Andrew Carnegie. Carnegie was a master of monopoly. He would ruin smaller companies by undercutting their prices. He would sell products for less than the cost to make them, knowing that he could sustain the losses. The smaller companies couldn't. So when they went under, he would buy their equipment and facilities for pennies on the dollar and absorb these plants into his larger conglomerate. At any rate, when Andrew Carnegie created his Carnegie Institute for International Peace, there were people who saw a seeming contradiction in the ruthless robber baron who seemed to mend his ways by now striving to usher in a paradigm of peace and brotherhood. In reality, there was no contradiction. Carnegie was merely applying the principles of business monopoly to nations. Crush the smaller countries and absorb them into one larger world system run by businessmen. At any rate, billionaire investor Ray Dalio recently came up with a book about the changing world order. He created a video to accompany it.
The changing world order. The times ahead will be radically different from those that we've experienced in our lifetimes, though similar to many times before. How do I know that? because they always have been. Over my roughly 50 years of global macroeconomic investing, I've learned the hard way that the most important events that surprised me did so because they never happened in my lifetime. These painful surprises led me to study the last 500 years of history for similar situations where I saw that they had indeed happened many times before, with the ups and the downs of the Dutch, British, and U.S. empires. And every time they did, it was a sign of the changing world order.
I would encourage anyone watching to check out the full version of Dalio's helpful video, because he does a good job of outlining the cycle of changing world orders as one empire rises and another falls. He errs, however, in thinking that China will be the next great empire, and that the next world order will be built upon that. China, too, is under this delusion. If events were allowed to run their course, this might in fact happen. But there are business interests afoot who want China to merely be a component in a larger global corporatocracy, and they will stop at nothing, even World War III, to turn the tables and to try to substitute their own version of the New World Order. It's for these business interests that Joe Biden works. In parting, consider this. World wars usually happen after economic crashes. The Panic of 1907 led to World War I in 1914. The 1929 stock market crash led to World War II in 1939. Recently, we had both the 2008 subprime mortgage crash, from which we never recovered, followed by the COVID-caused economic implosion of 2020. I'll let you take three guesses at what comes next. In the original conception of the Constitution, the people would be briefed by a sort of de facto intelligence agency called a free press. The idea of a people's intelligence agency predates any state-run intelligence agencies and was in fact seen as essential for the operation of a republic. An informed people are a free people. If you want to get actionable intelligence related to emerging trends and upcoming events, check out thenewamerican.com.